The U.S. and British-led effort to make Iraq a stable, civil, multi-party democracy that will strengthen the whole region is not unprecedented. Between 1914 and 1932, the British government, under mandate from the League of Nations, tried to create a self-governing Iraq. London worried about whether to send more troops, which was unpopular back in Britain, or to devolve more power to locals, which stirred up local rivalries. Toby Dodge, a senior research fellow at the University of Warwick and an associate fellow of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, believes there are contemporary lessons to be learned from that experience. He has a new book, Inventing Iraq, The Failure of Nation Building and a History Denied. Professor Dodge joins us from the studios of KPBS in San Diego. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And Professor, take us back to the debate that the British public went through about more or less troops or more or less locals, and some of the difficulties Britain encountered when they relied less on their own personnel.
There was a big push from British public opinion to get Britain out of Iraq, to scale down troops and bring the boys back home as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So with this overbearing dynamic, the British set about to build a state on the cheap, to cut corners, to get out as quickly as they could while not betraying their promises to the League of Nations. So what happened, they went into society trying to find figures of local influence who they could give the state to, people they trusted and empathized with. And I think this is the great tragedy of Iraq in the 20s and 30s. This is the moment where the British failed to deliver on their promises, failed to build a stable state, and basically failed the Iraqi population.
What do you see, Professor Dodge, as being the conceivable hazard in the temptation some American policymakers have to invest certain individual Iraqis? Maybe cite one prominent example, Iraqis who were coming in from exile, other Iraqis who had served in other positions in the Ba'athist regime.
Now, I was in Baghdad in May and June this year conducting a series of detailed interviews with a cross-section of Iraqi people. And it's very worrying because the people, the exiles, the Iraqis that the U.S. seems to be depending on are very unpopular in Iraqi society. Mm-hmm. Ordinary Iraqis say, you know, who are these guys? They've just come in. They've come in on the backs of American tanks. Why should we listen to them? They haven't been here. They haven't suffered with us under three wars, under 12 years of sanctions. They're sitting in Baghdad being well paid, having grand conferences, and they mean nothing to us. So there is a very palpable resentment across Iraqi society directed at the governing council. Very worryingly, the governing council that the U.S. administration has invested an awful lot of time and money in.
You had the impression, Professor, that many Iraqis with whom you spoke when you were there were in a sense waiting out the U.S. and British period before they became politically involved. So you have the specter of the occupying powers say, we want Iraqis to get involved in building a new democracy, and then you've got Iraqis saying, I think I'll wait, I'll hold back.
There is a real strong sense of Iraqis sitting on their hands and waiting to see how the situation unfolds. I think although the statue in Fardus Square was toppled on April 9th, Saddam's terror organization, his secret services, the way he controlled the state, haven't been overturned. And so there's a lot of, you know, very dangerous people still well organized in Iraqi society. So there are strong disincentives to being involved. There's a feeling that if ordinary Iraqis commit to the occupation, get involved, roll their sleeves up and work to build a democracy, they may come to regret it, that the old powers or Islamicists, Islamic radicals will come to punish them for what is increasingly seen as collaboration.
You did see something encouraging in Qasr.
What happened was a bunch of mid-level civil servants, teachers in fact, knocked on the barracks door and said, when are you going to open our schools? And quite rightly, the British said, well, that's not for us to do, that's for you to do. But what we'll do, we'll bring USAID in, we'll give you a budget, you can run the schools, and you can build the local government. Now, this has worked, possibly not as well as it should have in Qasr, but across the south, mm-hmm. This is what the British are trying to do, build local government at a local level. And then once that's been successfully achieved across Iraq, then we can bring it back to Baghdad. We can bring local democracy to a national level. The great danger is that because Paul Bremer is under pressure from the White House, because there's a lot of unease in America, that the national government will be built, it won't be linked to ordinary people's lives, and like the British in the 1920s and 30s, it won't be sustainable, it won't have legitimacy, and it will lead to more violence and more instability.
Professor Dodge, thanks very much.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Toby Dodge of the University of Warwick. His new book is Inventing Iraq, from the Columbia University Press.